The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. These are the words of Christ. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as I'm sure is known to virtually everyone here, is Mother's Day. And it's an important day, almost as important as Father's Day. And we gather to recognize the importance of motherhood and mothers in our lives. And to kind of honor that today, I've brought a few things of my mother that she has gifted and passed on to me. My first thing that I have and I cherish and keep is my baptismal candle. And you might recognize the candle. They're the same ones our church has today. And it has the date of my baptism on the back. Sheldon Wayne Gattinger. February 15th, 1976. Mom got me there pretty quick considering I was born on January 19th. So we're talking about 3 weeks. From leaving the hospital to getting me to the baptismal font. And I was baptized at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, and a certain pastor, Tom Nielsen, presided at my baptism. So it's kind of a small world considering Pastor Nielsen used to be here as pastor for a time. So I have my baptismal candle, a gift that my mother and father graciously gave me to come forward, to come and stand at the font, and to make those parental promises. And thanks be to God in my life, they were not empty promises. They promised, as all parents do, to place in my hand a copy of the Holy Scriptures, to teach me the ways of the Lord, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, to faithfully bring me to the house of God for worship service. And those were promises that they gave life to through their action, through bringing me to Sunday school, for praying with by praying with me before bedtime, by choosing to read children's Bibles to me as bedtime stories, by helping me discern right from wrong, you name it. It is a gift that my mother and father graciously gave me. While God may have given me the gift of faith, nevertheless my parents really helped shape it and make it meaningful to me. So I give great thanks to my mother on this Mother's Day for, if not the gift of faith, then the appreciation of it, the growth of it, the cultivation of it, and recognizing the importance of it in my life. When I started seminary, I received a Bible. And it's been an important Bible to me. It's one that I've read, that I've cherished, that I've spent a lot of time going through. And I think for me it's really symbolic of the support that my mother and my father have given me throughout this journey of ministry. Some parents, when their son would come to them and say, you know, I want to go to seminary and be a pastor, would be kind of maybe a bit hesitant to the idea, to say the least. But they were very supportive, very enthusiastic, and very loving. You know, as I kind of began that walk through ministry and many years of school and moving here and there everywhere across the country. So it's something I cherish and I think that I'll have hopefully with me forever as I kind of recall their support throughout that formative period in my life. And finally, on the day of my ordination, I received a stole. And this one's all mom, not dad. My mother made me this stole. And this was the stole that I bowed at the altar with, that the bishop placed around my shoulders. And we prayed for the Holy Spirit. We prayed for knowledge and wisdom and understanding and discernment. And this was the stole that was placed upon me. My mother had to go to plenty of different fabric stores and upholstery stores and spent countless hours putting this together and stressing over the final design. So even though I don't wear it every day, nevertheless, I am appreciative of the effort and also kind of showing her part in what is a much larger narrative. So on this Mother's Day, I thank my mother for these gifts. And finally, I have a plate of fruit. And this plate of fruit is simply that. Fruit. That's it. Just fruit. I have some watermelon. Melon. And green melon. It's all the same. There is a difference between gifts and fruit. Gifts and fruit. Our Bible passages today, our readings of Scripture, use these words, gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. And the two are not the same. And there is a great difference between the two. And I think often we confuse the two. Gifts, fruit. There's a difference. We are told by St. Paul that gifts of the Spirit involve such things as faith, involve such things as spiritual discernment, involve such things as preaching and teaching and administration and gifts of worship and music. These are gifts, we are told. The list is endless. Paul doesn't give an exhaustive list of gifts. You could say accounting is a gift of the Spirit. You could say singing is a gift of the Spirit. You could say that being a mother, being a father, are gifts of the Spirit. These are innate qualities that we possess. These are individual gifts that make us unique. When you look at someone and say, boy, she is so good at that. I wish I could be that good at that. We could say that is a gift of the Spirit. Gifts. Gifts are freely given to us. True gifts come without strings attached. True gifts are bought and paid for and acquired by somebody else. True gifts have no expectations. Gifts are given and gifts are received. And in the body of Christ, guess which end of the spectrum we are on? We are on the receiving end of God's gift. In the church, we can look around and we can see numerous gifts. I am so envious, and I admit, I suffer from breaking the 9th and 10th commandments. Do not covet your neighbors. I'm jealous of these people who can sing, because I can't sing. I'm jealous of those people who can play pianos and guitars and flutes and harp. You name it. I am jealous of those who have great gifts of organization and administration, because I don't feel I possess those gifts. And those people probably look at other people in the church and say, I wish I could do that. I wish that I could teach Sunday school, but I know I'm not very good at that. I wish that I could do a youth group retreat, but I know I'm not very good at that. And together we take our gifts, individual as they are, and we form ourselves in the body of Christ. No gift being more important than one another. Preaching and teaching is not more important than administration or music. Working with youth or working with seniors, equal in the eyes of Christ. God does not show partiality. And we have our giftedness. We have gifts of caring and healing and compassion. We have gifts of service and worship and administering. We have gifts of maintenance. You name it. Together in the body of Christ, we have these gifts. And each of us, we are told by St. Paul, has been gifted accordingly. which means God has given you the gift that God knows you need and that the body of Christ needs. You see, it's not a solitary thing. Thank God I'm good at music. No. According to the Bible, you're good at music for a reason. To glorify the body of Christ. Through worship and through support. Oh, thank goodness I'm good at so-and-so. Well, according to the Bible, you're gifted for so-and-so to do what? To build up the body of Christ, which is the church. There's even a little story about keeping your lamp under a bushel. This idea that we have these gifts, and I see this manifest week after week, that we have these gifts. We have such amazing gifts, such miraculous gifts, such wonderful gifts of service and teaching and preaching and organization and music. And you're thinking to yourself, that's not me. Yes, you have gifts. Maybe your gift is with a hammer or a wrench or being a greeter or an usher or baking bread or making wine or washing the pyramids or sewing new altar cloth or making banners. I don't care. It is a gift. As Galatians says, if we have hands but no eyes, we are blind. And if we have eyes but no hands, what work can we do? And if we have hands but no feet, where can we go? We need everyone's gifts. We are interconnected. We are joined. And God has graciously given them to us. And this is at the heart of spiritual discernment. And it's a term that is severely lacking in our church. And the idea of spiritual discernment is saying, okay, Lord, what am I gifted with? What can I do well? What am I enthusiastic about? What do I enjoy? What do I have a passion for? But the second part is then taking that discernment and asking, how can I serve others with it? How can I use it to build up the world? How can I use it to make your love and name known? How can I use it to celebrate you and glorify you? So many of us get stuck on the what do I want to do with my life mentality. That happiness is simply an individual pursuit. That we don't find happiness in community. That we don't find happiness in growing with one another and sharing with one another and experiencing love and success and failure and doubt and sorrow with one another. We are a community. We are joined by the same Holy Spirit that gifts us individually. We have been chosen, we have been marked, and we have been gifted to do something. Not just to better ourselves, not just to better our little sphere of influence we call our home or family, but to better, get this, the world. To me, that's an amazing thing. And then we have fruit. Fruit. We hear in our readings about the fruit of the Spirit. And unlike gifts, fruit is not individualized. In other words, all these things can be manifest in your own life. See, gifts are individual. We have individual gifts and abilities. But fruit is how the Holy Spirit manifests itself. Through patience and peace and self-control and love and joy and hope. Like fruit, we go into the world and we try and nourish the world. We try and bring sweetness to the world. The Spirit allows us to bring our energy and our creativity and our nourishment to a world that is hungry for all the above. A world that needs a word of hope. A world that needs comfort and compassion and peace and justice and mercy and hope and faith. And we all have access to those. For those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those aren't of ourselves. Those are of God. And that is the gifting of the Holy Spirit. One produces the other. As Christians, we can get very wrapped up in the giftedness. What is our giftedness? What is our specialness? Oh God, I wish I had this gift. The gift of finances. I wish I had the gift of good health. I wish I had the gift of influence. The gift of prestige. You name it. And so we start praying for gifts. Because we like the idea of attaining stuff. God, give me more of this. Give me a double portion of that. Make me better at this. Because we want to enrich ourselves. And so we start praying for giftedness. And we forget about fruits. Because fruit, like the tree that drops its apples, or its oranges, or its red melon, green melon, or orange melon, we don't think about giving. We want to take. We want to take from God. And so we start thinking more and more about our giftedness and how it would better us. If we find ourselves wishing and praying and thinking about, if I only had more money, if I only had more clout, if I only had more, what we are really doing is wishing or praying for more giftedness. But St. Paul writes, and here's the word of warning, to those whom much is given, much is expected. So you have the gift of great finances? How does that manifest itself in the fruits of the Spirit? Are you a great steward of those finances? That's the question the Bible asks. Do you have a great musical ability? There's the gift. But how does it manifest itself in the fruit? Does that music bring joy to the world? Does it honor God? Does it build up the body of Christ? That's what's expected. Do you have great gifts of administration? Great. But do you simply use those to plan the best staff retreat ever? Or do you get involved in the life of the church, helping to organize its ways? The gifts are connected to the fruit. To simply isolate them from one another is sinful. Because the gifts are meant to be the originator of the ministry. How do we use what we have to drop into the world like a fruit, like a tree dropping fruit, the gifts of God? How do we bring this peace and joy and love and hope and support and healing and forgiveness into the world? We do that by using our gifts. And the circle is meant to continue and continue and continue. When people take their gifts and they pull out of the body of Christ, as we heard last week, the tree dies. God cuts it up, makes a big pile, and burns it in unquenchable fire. Because fruit is no longer falling. What do we do with the tree that bears no fruit? We hear the metaphor in the Bible. Well, the lumberjack comes and cuts it down, throws it in the fire. The fruit is just as important as the gifts. We can get so caught up on the gifts, on our individual pursuits, on our individual greatness, on our individual abilities, on the things that set me apart from you, and you apart from your neighbor, and your neighbor apart from me, because these are the things that make us unique. Our gifts, our abilities. Are we gifted at healing? We might be a nurse or a doctor or a physiotherapist. So you're unique. Are we gifted at teaching? Then we might be a teacher. Are we gifted at administration? Well, then we might be a manager. And the list can go on and on and on. And so we separate ourselves into groups and into associations. And we start looking like one another. But then in the process, we lose the variety of the body of Christ. For the body of Christ is supposed to be many and varied, encompassing all of us with our gifts. Gifts that are called to bear fruit. And no matter how you do it, Whether you're using gifts of healing or gifts of administration or gifts of teaching or preaching or evangelizing, the fruit will look the same. Into the areas and people and communities you drop the fruit of peace, joy, love, hope, they will look better. They will look more Christ-like. The church comes together, and we are called to recognize gifts and discern gifts and encourage gifts and hone our gifts and sharpen our gifts so that we can go out to our individual places, our seniors' clubs and our places of work and our mothers' groups and our foursome for golf every Thursday night, and that we can drop the fruit. And you know what the definition of fruit is? A fruit is something that has seeds. And guess what seeds do? Seeds grow. And then when you leave, new fruit might grow. Other people might start spreading hope and peace and love and caring and well-being and support into their varied and unique groups. And pretty soon, a whole orchard of trees bearing fruit is forming. And this is the good news of the gospel. Together we're individuals. Together we're a group. Individually, you might excel in one or two certain areas. Think about how many things in your life you can say that you're truly good at. Not many. And your neighbor's thinking the same thing right now. But we take all of our little few things we're good at and we put them together and we have a huge list. And all of a sudden we become something way better and way bigger and way more dynamic than when we started off. We are not an island unto ourselves. We are the body of Christ with feet and hands and arms and a head and eyes so that we can go into the world and overcome. We can triumph. We can make God known. And we don't have to do it alone. As we move into Pentecost next Sunday, the formation of the church, and as we go throughout the year, we'll see the Christian story is not one of individualism. It's one of community. Because we are stronger when we are together. We are better when we are together. We are Christ when we are together. The hand cannot say to the eye, I have no use for you. The eye cannot say to the foot, I have no use for you. We are all needed to build each other up, to build the world up, and to build the body of Christ up. We have been gifted richly. We have been gifted more than we even deserve. Let us give it back to the world. Amen.